In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Truly, brothers and sisters, the central part of our faith in Jesus Christ is the resurrection. And that's why we celebrate the resurrection explicitly every single Sunday. And that's why we read about the resurrection every single Sunday matins. There's a lot of details in these matinal readings. There's 11 of them. And they're interesting, and there's importance in some of the chronological details, who sees whom when, and etc. But in each of the readings, there are very important things that are primary to understand and know. It's the way it is in all Scripture. You have to learn to basically be, good like a person who takes the MCAT and such, is able to read something and discern what's the important part of the text. But you don't need to have a college education to do this. You just have to have a heart that seeks God. And then you will see what's important. It's not an intellectual pursuit. It is a spiritual pursuit of understanding what's important in the text. So you read the text with the intent that something hits you. Something makes you feel. So in the third matinal gospel, which is the last one from the selections of the ones for St. Mark, I think there are two things that are of pivotal importance. And that is that the Lord rebuked them for their hardness of heart. It says, afterward, as he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, this is after he had described basically some things that had happened on that day, seeing Mary Magdalene and seeing Luke and Cleopas, although they're not named, and some other things. After he appeared unto the 11 and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now when I read that, I think about, do I have unbelief and hardness of heart? I must have, because I've spoken to you throughout all of my pastoral life about unbelief. I'm not speaking of not believing the resurrection happened, or not believing in the Trinity, or that God exists, but I'm talking about living in such a way that we really look like we don't believe, and having doubts and having anxieties that a Christian shouldn't have. And so I wonder, do I have unbelief and hardness of heart? I have to answer that question, yes, indeed. You know, you cannot believe with a hard heart. You can intellectually know something, but if you have a hard heart, you cannot really know it. And that applies absolutely to the resurrection. There are many people that believe in the resurrection, but it has very little, if any, effect on their lives. And that includes people that walk into churches every day. God will not visit those that have hard hearts. Scripture is really clear about that. And if you are proud, if you lack compassion, if you have vanity, if you are consumed with worldly things, then you'll know a little bit about God, and you might know a lot in terms of book knowledge, but in terms of God really touching your soul, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That is how you know God and how you truly believe, because God is a being that must be experienced to be known. You can't understand him by reading about him. Even if you understand everything St. Paul writes and everything St. Gregory Palamas writes, you cannot know God unless your heart is soft. Now, the apostles had a hard heart. They had certain preconceptions about Jesus, and even being 3 years with him, they had not completely disabused themselves of those notions. And so when he died, they could not comprehend what was happening. Their hearts were too hard to understand. And even when the resurrection was announced multiple times on the day, they still did not believe until he really appeared to them in the upper room. They weren't excessively sinful people, but their hearts were hard. Scripture says it. He upbraided them for their hardness of heart and their unbelief. So you and I must think, what makes our hearts hard? What makes our hearts unbelieving? It happens all the time. It also happens, by the way, to those you teach, those you try to help. They have hard hearts too. So don't be impatient with them, since after all, you're a wounded person, they're a wounded person, and therefore you should have patience with their hard hearts, since you have a hard heart. When I read this, I think, not in so many words, I'm not saying that I actually run through a laundry list, but my heart thinks it, my soul thinks it. I think, what can I do to soften my heart? I think there are two things that are the most important. And one is, of course, to love. But love is something that the world doesn't understand. They talk about it, but they have no idea what it is. To love is to become like God, is to see things as God sees them. It's a very difficult thing. I had an interesting experience recently. Someone was talking to me about a family problem, not in the church at all, a friend of mine, in which there had been some great taking advantage of. And I was angry because of it. I didn't know everybody involved in it, but I knew some. And it upset me, and I was thinking kind of how I would want to react to it. And then I found myself giving advice that was the exact opposite of what my heart felt. Because what my heart felt was wrong. The right thing to do was something that was quieter and was more patient. It was kind of a lesson for me. It's very easy to react to things with a hard heart. We have to look at people with compassion and see things from God's perspective and see sort of the big picture. And it takes effort to do that. To notice that people have problems. Everybody. The person you buy gum from every day. Person you see on the train every day. A person in the office who's difficult and gossipy and curses. And every time you walk outside is smoking. There's all kinds of people. And if you want to have a soft heart, try to notice those people. They're all over. They're everywhere. It's very difficult to notice those people continually. I mean, you might notice a few here and there, but we're called to notice them all. So if you want to have a soft heart, really learn, with God helping you, to see people as God sees them. And then the other major thing is, none of this can happen without prayer. None of us pray enough. I've only really recently, comparatively in the years of my life, understood how important prayer is. Still don't pray enough. But really, that will soften your heart. Most of you have heard the advice, right? If you have some problem with someone, what's the first thing I tell you to do? Pray for them. Those two things will help soften your heart. And understand that your unbelief, which you may or may not see, comes from hardness of heart. Remember, unbelief is not saying that you're not sure about something, that you're not sure if something is true or not. Unbelief is when we don't live according to the truth. So by that token, we can agree with the psalmist, I said all men are liars. We're all liars. We don't live according to the truth completely. And so, let's do it. Well, God will help us. The other thing that I think is very, very important in this gospel is the instruction that he gives them. It says, he said to them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's not a symmetrical statement, is it? He says, believeth and baptized shall be saved, but then he says, those who do not believe will be damned. He doesn't say not believed and are not baptized. He says not believe. Now, you can take that various ways, and it's been misunderstood throughout the years to say baptism is not necessary, because he only mentions not believing. That's not what he said. One must believe and be baptized. And in order to be saved. But one can be baptized and then not believe and you won't be saved. You must believe and you must be baptized. That, this is straight in line with the parable of the wheat and the tares. So you must believe and be baptized. This means that there ain't no such thing as eternal security as some Protestant doctrines would have it. The idea that you're once saved, always saved. No. Salvation is a process. Salvation is a relationship. We must cultivate our relationships or else we lose them. Not because they're snatched away from us in some sort of capricious way, but because we lose our first love. So, we must believe and be baptized, which means you must live according to the truth that's inherent in baptism, which is the entry into the church. Saint Matthew makes it even more specific. He says, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So with baptism is teaching, and that teaching is expected to be followed. In both of those things, I think we as Christians must recognize that we don't always follow the things that we say we believe. That's why these resurrectional gospels are so important to be heard once a week and rotate through them every 11 weeks. Because the resurrection is only understood if we live in the light of the resurrection. It's not an intellectual knowledge. You don't have to be smart to understand the resurrection. You have to love God and desire to follow Him. And then you have all knowledge and you know. Certainly. That's what this gospel is saying. Now, there's a lot of interesting things in this gospel as well. I don't have time to go into them. But St. Mark, more than any of the other evangelists, he was very eager. He summarizes things. This gospel is a real summary of things. A 40 days passage of time is compressed, actually more than that, is compressed into a very few words. So you have to, if you read it over and over again and you read the other gospels, you can see. Because otherwise this can confuse you. Because he describes something and one sentence later, all of a sudden Christ is ascending. Well, there's a passage of time that occurs before that. But those things are interesting. But understanding that your heart is hard and that's the reason why you have unbelief, that's critical. And understanding that with baptism comes the requirement that we follow the ways of the church, which are the ways of God, that we live according to who Jesus Christ is, that's critical. Now, it's important to understand something. I love the Orthodox faith so much because, in contrast to the other faiths I have known that express belief in Christ, there is this real deep honesty about the human condition, and we talk about it a lot. It's a little too much for some people. It feels a little bit gloomy for some people because most people's worship experiences of joy and worship and praising God and really not talking so much about our sins. We talk about our sins every day. In this service, you're going to hear, if you are careful, 36 expressions of our sinfulness. But at the same time, we understand that God will help us. We're like the publican. The publican beat his breast, but he went away from the temple justified. So if you understand this and understand how to think of yourself as a sinner, but not in some sort of macabre way, not in some sort of poor self-esteem way, but instead as a reality of the truth of your life, of who you are, then glory be to God that you're not always going to be this way. God's going to help you. All you need to do is learn to have a soft heart. So may God help us to have soft hearts so that we believe. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages.